Hello, everyone, and welcome to The New Yorkers, a podcast by New York City Cop. I'm your host, Kelly Cop, published photographer, New York City tour business owner, real estate content creator, podcaster, and above all else, a New Yorker.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Brooklyn-bound train is now arriving.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Today, Jay and I are going to have some fun on this podcast.
Yeah, we are.
We are. And I'm excited to see Jay's questions because we each have 20 questions for each other that we have no idea what they are. And we're both going to answer our own question or each other's questions and our own questions.
I just have one question for you.
What is your question?
Are you ready?
How do I answer that?
It's a yes or no question.
Yes. Color. You know what? Let's have the questions just be yes or no for the next hour. Yes.
Could you imagine? That'd be really interesting content.
Jay, do you know this question? No. Next question. Okay, cool. So my first question, Jay, is how do you think New York City has influenced your personality or worldview?
First of all, I want to say I come up with very different questions.
You know, I can't wait to see what your questions are because, you know, it's funny.
Repeat that? How did New York City?
Yeah, it's a deep, you know, right off the bat, it's like a deep question, isn't it?
I mean, best way to keep people interested.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that?
How do you think New York has influenced your personality or worldview?
I think it's influenced my worldview in that I might have a little bit more acceptance of people who are different because I kind of grew up around, you know, a lot of different cultures, different people from different backgrounds. I think one of the most interesting things, like statistics that I saw, is that people get very upset when they hear people speaking a language they're not used to or they don't know.
Right.
And I always thought that was weird because I listen to people speak languages all the time and it's like nothing that like is frustrating for me. I think it's cool that people of different places can exist in one city. You know, you have like people who are speaking Chinese or Mandarin, Japanese, Korean, Spanish, whatever. And so I think that it's definitely widened my perspective, made me more accepting of others and more understanding of people. And I think it shaped my personality in that you kind of have to be tough when you're here and you have to be not stoic is the right word, but you have to be tough. You have to be New York City strong, you know?
Right.
And I think that that kind of shapes your outlook on people, your outlook on walking to the train, your outlook on everything. It kind of informs how you're, it informs who you are in a way growing up in the city.
Great answer.
Yeah.
I spent most of my younger years, well, you know, a lot of people don't know, I was actually born in Iowa. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
And I have always been drawn to people innately who were different than me because I wanted to know more about them and learn about them. I thought it was fascinating to know someone who had a different background and looked different, acted different. I just thought it was, in more or less of a word, cool.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, as a young kid. Then we moved to Orlando and I spent most of my life, I would say before New York, in Orlando. And that has a lot of diversity. It's one of the biggest tourist areas in the world, like New York is too.
Right.
But you know, it has it's a very Latin community as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And I made so many amazing friends in Orlando. I actually worked in Miami and I met a lot of my amazing Brazilian friends as well. A lot of my friends in Miami from Brazil. And I'm fascinated by the different cultures and how at the same time, we're all the same. We all just want to be loved, even though we're different. And then I think that's, I mean, that's one of the main reasons I moved to New York. I was so drawn to New York City because of the diversity and how much people, I'm different than them, how different I am to them.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
And I'm considerate and thoughtful of differences between us. And I think that's important and appreciative. Is that a word, appreciative?
Yeah. I think so.
It's just, we're both tired. So Jay and I have been working a lot together lately. Yeah. So
yeah.
But I do appreciate the more different that you are than me, the more I want to know you and get to know, you know.
Sure.
So yeah. That's how I've always been, and that's a big draw of New York City for me, is all the different people and how awesome people are. And at the end of the day, everybody just wants to be appreciated and loved.
Yeah.
So that's all. This, what a great question to start this.
Yeah, you know, pat yourself on the episode. Back.
You know, it was, I didn't expect this. I just thought it'd be like a 2-sentence, you know, conversation between each of us.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got a little deep there.
No, that's good. That's what the people are here for.
Yeah. So what's your next question, my friend?
What's your favorite intersection?
In New York City, my favorite intersection?
Yeah.
Jay, that is a really good question because that's something I would never think of. Gosh, my favorite intersection. You know, I'm going to say my mind went to I think it's 45th and, you know, Broadway, 7th Avenue, whatever, in Times Square.
Sure.
Because especially when I do tours and stuff, I like to take people to that specific, those intersections right there, whatever. So what goes through Times Square, Broadway or 7th Avenue?
I think they both do.
They're the same road right there. So I guess it's considered
Broadway.
They're
not the same road, but they like they cross over.
They cross over.
Yeah, they like cross over each other.
Yeah, so we'll say Broad. It's I think the addresses are on is called Broadway on all those. So we'll say Broadway.
Okay.
Inquiring minds want to know. I really don't know the specifics, but anyway, so we'll say Broadway and 44th, 46th, because I just love to stand in the middle of the street. And don't do that, my friends.
Yes, don't stand in the
Our listeners,
street.
Don't stand in the street. But, you know, if you're taking tours with me and you've seen my videos, I'd like to stand in the middle of the street and see the people crossing the street from left to right and right to left. And it's just really cool, you know, and you get a lot of cabs in the view. And I think it's a feast for the eyes of all the lights and colors in Times Square.
Yeah, very stimulating.
Yeah, the billboards. I think there's just a lot going on. I think it's very interesting to most people.
Sure.
So that's a great question. What's yours?
I'm going to say Old Fulton and Water Street in Brooklyn, looking over the Brooklyn Bridge.
I know exactly.
Yeah. I love when the walk down from the A train and seeing that the street end, Old Fulton end, and then Water Street coming off the side is cool. The buildings over there are very picturesque, and seeing the water in the background and the bridges in the background, it's just really, it's really cool.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a good sunset spot, too.
Yeah, it's a great sunset spot. It's just a great spot in general.
Which leads to the next question.
Yeah.
What's your favorite sunset spot in New York City? I didn't even plan this segue.
I did a photo shoot on the East River down near the South Street Seaport, and I'd say that's probably my favorite sunset spot, to see the sun reflecting off the buildings. You could see it setting in the water and across the bridges in the background too on the other side of the street. But then also like the sun reflecting off the sides of the buildings in Manhattan. It was really cool. Yeah. So I'd probably say the South Street Seaport.
Yeah.
On the East River.
Mine is going to be from Pebble Beach in Brooklyn. Do you know what Pebble Beach is? That's that little tiny rocky beach in Dumbo. You know, so you're standing there.
Okay,
it's kind of like a 3 or 4 tiered cement steps right there. And then you see how the East River, the beautiful East River, it, you know, it kind of the waves come onto the little rocks there. Yeah.
Is that near the carousel?
Exactly. It's right. The carousel would be, there's like a cove right there.
Yeah.
And then there's the carousel. And then there is the Brooklyn Bridge with Lower Manhattan behind the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
That is by far my very favorite sunset spot in New York City.
That's a good spot.
Or standing on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Sure.
That too. Those are tied. But I mean, I love it. I absolutely love that view. It's breathtaking. I could sit on those steps for hours. And those of you who have been to New York City to that spot know exactly what I mean as well. And, you know, even through our videos and stuff, people have seen that. And they always do well because it's fantastic. It's like a beautiful, beautiful spot.
My next question is, do you have a least favorite neighborhood?
Wow. That's such a good question. Do I have a least favorite neighborhood?
Let's take a quick break.
Hey there, I'm Bellamy Young. I'm an actor and a producer. I've been working with the global humanitarian organization, CARE, and I am so excited to invite you along for my new podcast, She Leads with CARE. Each week, you'll meet some incredible women who have changed their lives and their communities.
We raise our voices for people who don't raise their voices to defend themselves.
Listen to She Leads with CARE now on your favorite podcast platform. New episodes every Tuesday.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I want to go to this neighborhood. And you're like, oh.
Like someone books a tour and I'm like, oh, no.
Sure. Yeah.
Gosh, that's a great question. Wow. I have to really think about that one because I love all the neighborhoods equally. Let me be clear.
I don't. That's why I asked this question.
I can't wait to hear your answer. And you're not going to like what I'm going to say because it's your neighborhood where you grew up.
Yeah.
But it's the Upper East Side. I know. I'm sorry. It's just for me, when people, because of where I live, you know, where I live and everything is on the Upper West Side. I zip up and down and I don't go to the East Side as much as, you know, as the rest. It's just out of my way.
Sure.
It's hard to get to.
Yeah.
I know if you don't live here, it's hard to understand that. But it's a pain in the butt for me to go to the East Side.
No, it is. It's hard to get to, and there's not much over there.
Yeah, it's like sightseeing-wise, there is Carl Schurz. Is that how you say it? Schurz Park. I love that park. Don't get me wrong. It's stunning, you know? I mean, it has some of the most beautiful brownstones, too. Don't get me wrong. But for me, it's my least favorite neighborhood because, for me, it's a pain in the butt to get there.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's hard. It's always that's like fair. This morning just getting there was early and I was cranky because I have to go to the East Side.
Yeah.
You know?
No, going to the East Side from the West Side has always been...
Yeah.
It's a shame there's no, like, train that goes between the two because, like,
the bus
they really
does,
need to.
But still, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather walk... Like, this morning, it was beautiful and breathtaking, Central Park, this morning.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, it was 8 a.m. and I was walking through Central Park and my soul was singing, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm still grumpy. I'm like, I gotta get to the East. I gotta walk over to between... And I had to be on... I had to be, like, between Lexington and 3rd Avenue. So it's getting over there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting old. It's a long walk.
Oh, that's fair.
And I'm not going to take a cab.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the only reason why, because it's a challenge to get there. Beautiful neighborhood, pain in my butt to get there.
Gotcha.
What's yours?
I don't like Soho.
Oh, yeah. We just actually, yes, you just said it to me the other day.
I work there, which is like so unfortunate. And it's filled with tourists and filled with rich people. And filled with, like, designer fashion stores and, like, pop-up trendy TikTok places. And, like, even on my way walking here, I saw a guy who is doing, like, a trend that was, like, really old. And it's called the NPC trend. And he, like, stands there and, like, he, like, stands there on a live stream and, like, talks to people and acts like a NPC, which stands for non-playable character in a video game. And he, like, does the same kind of hand motions over and over again and, like, says the same things. And it's... ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there's so many of, like, those kind of influencer people who walk through. I mean, I guess you've walked through Soho and took taking pictures. So I'm talking
speaking
about you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was telling my friend, it doesn't feel like a real place. It's kind of like a fantasy land of, like, hyper-capitalist New York City, like, you know.
Yeah, I
just,
get
like,
that.
I hate walking through Soho.
That's funny. Well, for me, I do like it, you know, because it's aesthetically beautiful, you know, in a sense. But it's funny, you guys. I'm talking to our listeners, Jay, right now because Jay and I, and we met his French friend, really cool guy, really nice guy. And we're standing outside the Apple store because my Apple phone, my phone's all, was kind of messed up or something. And I remember looking at your face because you're like, I hate Soho. I just remember because that moment of you had like a scowl on your face. And I was like, he really does.
I really do.
And I didn't know this. Like, it cracked me up. It just cracked me up. It was a very sincere, like, I don't like this area, you know? So it's pretty funny to me. So Jay, How would you describe the city's energy in 3 words? It's a tough one. He's really thinking.
Well, I was trying to say the city that never sleeps, but that's more than 3 words.
Oh, I gotcha.
I'd say that it's lively. It's youthful. And it's determined.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like it's very, the people walking around, mm-hmm. the cars, the trains, it's all very lively.
Yeah.
It's youthful in that I think walking around makes you youthful.
Yeah,
you
know? True. That's
having
a good point.
To exercise and get up and down the stairs keeps everyone young, and then determine that, you know, everyone's going to do their thing. Everyone's, if it's working construction, if it's working mm-hmm. a desk job, if it's making content, if it's driving a train, everyone's determined to get to do their thing.
Right. I like that.
Yeah.
I guess I have to say 3 because I didn't really think of my own.
That was the whole point of this.
Yeah. Well, I purposely didn't like really research into it because I wanted it to be more organic. You
sure.
know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd say energetic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's very energetic. It's a city that never sleeps, obviously. You know, going
yeah, I don't know if you can use that one.
I know, but it's energetic.
Said, no, but you said, how would you describe the city's energy? You can't say that it's energetic.
Oh, is that what that question was?
Yeah.
Oh, using okay, the... I'm sorry. My bad.
3 more.
Yeah, so I would say the energy is, can I say eclectic?
Okay. Eclectic's a great word.
Yeah. It's eclectic yeah. is like a
mix of different
yes,
kinds of things.
All different types of things yeah, and yeah, people yeah. and attitudes and yeah. looks and themes and all that.
Okay.
I would say it's also humbling.
Okay.
Can I use that?
Sure.
The energy is humbling.
Yeah.
Because people think they're big stuff in this world and New York will knock you down. New York doesn't care about you. It really that's doesn't. True. You know, I mean, the people do care about you or don't care about you here. I mean, it's just, it's a city that you have, if, you know, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, that phrase. I hate mm-hmm. to be cliche because that's you yourself who makes it happen.
Yeah.
You know, sure. So it's very humbling. You come here with dreams and you have to make those dreams happen yourself.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's very humbling. And I would say it's forgiving.
Ooh, okay. That's
you
interesting.
Know, I would say New York is forgiving.
Yeah.
Because you can do anything here
mm-hmm.
and pursue anything. And if it doesn't work, the city will forgive you and allow you to have and take another chance. And forgive you if you don't make it again mm-hmm. as many times as you want. It is a forgiving city until you really ideally do make it.
Yeah. So, Kelly, where do you go to think?
Wow. Where do I go to think?
Yeah.
I'm all over the city every day, too. I think in Central Park. I think that's the place where my mind is clear, is the most clear.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot less noise there compared
yeah.
to my apartment, compared to the subway, compared to anywhere else in the city. And I find myself sitting on a bench there often, and I can really gather my thoughts and look at my emails.
Sure.
You don't actually think.
Yeah.
Central Park is a very calming, beautiful place. It's one of my favorite places in the world. So it's a great place. I spend a lot of time in Central Park just relaxing on a bench, sitting there thinking about what I need to do, where I need to grocery shop.
Yeah.
You know, just my mind's very clear there. So that's okay. a good question. What's yours?
Yeah, I'd say any park, really. I love to just go to the parks and walk around. Like you said, it's clear. It's, you got the trees for like fresh oxygen. Mm-hmm. And it's just,
yep.
It's nice. I think the other one's just in the subway. Like taking the train sometimes. I'll just listen to music and close my eyes and just think as I'm commuting or I'm going somewhere, just to kind of like close out everything around me and focus on what I'm trying to do.
That's interesting because I can't think in the subway. I can't. That's the place I can't.
Mm.
I can't focus on the subway. for some reason. I mean, obviously, I'm very comfortable on the subway, but it's not a place for me to be clear-headed for some reason. I don't know why. It's just too busy. It's too much going on. Yeah,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah. So just a side note, what do you prefer, when you said a park, do you prefer Prospect Park because Jay lives by Prospect Park in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
In a sense, do you prefer Prospect Park or Central Park?
I mean, I think that it just depends like where I live close to, like whatever park that I'm near. Like when we were in the Upper West Side, I used to go to the park over there near the George Washington Bridge. Or when I was in Brooklyn, I went to the Herbert Von King Park. So whatever park really is close by.
Huh, that's a good one. For me, it is Central Park, number one, to me.
Anywhere.
What is your, you asked me what my, interesting, because you asked me what my favorite intersection was earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you. What's your favorite subway station?
Oh, I have that one later.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Kind of funny we did get both those questions. Yeah.
It's Hoyt Schermerhorn. I love Hoyt Schermerhorn.
Oh, I like, is that the tall one that I like? Or is that Smith? That's Smith, but go ahead.
That's Smith, yeah. No, Hoyt Schermerhorn is in Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn. So the G and the A and C intersect. Mm-hmm. And I just like the name, really.
It's a hard one. Main. Actually, I didn't know if it was Skirmerhorn or Schermerhorn.
I'm honestly not sure what it is either, but
see, it's a like hard
Hoyt
one.
Schermerhorn, yeah. And the Trans Museum's over there.
Oh, really?
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Huh. My favorite train station is, I think I like Columbus Circle a lot.
Okay.
You know, it's right there.
You got the market down there.
Yeah, it has, you know, the Columbus Circle shops, Central Park right there, right where the Upper West Side starts. I think it's a good hub to even get to Times Square. I'm in that subway station a lot too. It's one of the top five that I'm in the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Columbus Circle subway station at 59th Street is my favorite subway station.
Okay.
It's pretty clean too. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Pretty good subway.
And you got
station.
A lot of different trains that go through there. You got the orange, the blue, and the red.
Yeah, you
lines.
Got the A, C, B, D. And one.
Yeah.
I think that's all of them.
Yeah, that's all.
And it also has what's called Turnstile, which is like a food court.
Yeah.
Underground right there, too, that's connected inside underground at the train station. And sometimes I grab a bite of something there. It's pretty good. So that's a nice train station. I like it a lot.
What's your favorite movie or TV show that's based in New York?
Well, I hate to be kind of cliche about this movie or show, but it's Sex and the City.
Oh, okay.
You know, the movie, the TV show, and now And Just Like That.
Right.
The reason I love it so much is when I watched it back in the day when it was new and popular, and you probably weren't born yet. I don't even know, you know. And but the thing is, as a photographer, it's the perfect show to have on as background noise because it's New York City in the background. I remember the scenes that kind of make me laugh and stuff, but I don't really have to pay attention to it.
So
I always have that in the background if I'm editing photos, something like that, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's, you know, and the music is, I know the music really well, and it's just something that is just, it's just really nice. It's the epitome of New York to me. And or sometimes are the movie Alien, but that's not New York. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Side note, kind of funny. But how about yours?
So it's my favorite show, like, of all time, actually. It's just Person of Interest. And it takes place, like, solely in New York City.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is that they really go in depth with different neighborhoods. And, like, it takes place. And they have scenes, like, in Brooklyn and Queens and, like, you know, even Long Island at some point, but it really is diverse, and it's not just, doesn't take place just in Manhattan, and they like use the surrounding boroughs as well, which I love.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some pretty good cinematography with the establishing shots of the city. And yeah.
I like that. I'm going to start watching it because I've never really watched it.
Yeah. It's my favorite show of all time.
Well, you know what? My next question is going to be super easy.
Okay.
Yankees or Mets?
Oh, I have that too. that's a hard one.
I thought it'd be easy for you.
So we're working on a documentary on the Yankees, so I feel contractually obligated to say the Yankees. But
who's we?
Oh, me and my day job. So I don't do producing full time because, you know.
I thought you meant the other podcast, Let's Get Civical.
No. So I work for a documentary film company, Words and Pictures.
Yeah.
And we are working on a project called The Yankees Win. And I don't think I can say anything more than that.
That's fine.
But
no worries. Yeah.
So I think that the Yankees are more iconic.
True.
And more important to baseball history and New York City history.
Correct.
But I've been to more Mets games. I like the Mets colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Shea Stadium is cool. So I've always been a Mets fan.
Yeah, I'm Yankees. Yeah. 100%. Babe Ruth. You know. However, I thought you were going to bring up, the reason I thought you were going to say the Mets is because you told a story on a previous podcast about a shirt you got when you were young.
Yeah, kid. Actually, I've been wearing it to bed recently.
That shirt, you have to refresh our memories about this shirt.
Yeah, so I was at the last game. Oh, I guess it's not Shea Stadium anymore, but I was at the last game at Shea Stadium with my dad and my brother, I think. No, it probably wasn't my brother because he probably would have got the shirt. But anyway, I was there with my dad and they launched the t-shirt cannons and the t-shirt came up to our section and some of the people, it went to the people behind us.
Right.
But the guy who had caught the shirt still said that, or someone who was standing next to the guy who caught the shirt was like, you should give it to the kid, the young kid down there, and like have it as memorabilia. And so they gave me the shirt and I still have it to this day. It says the last season at Shea Stadium. I think it must have been like 2008.
Wow.
I don't remember when it closed down, but,
And you wear it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's well, cause it like, I think it was like an XL and I was like very young, so I couldn't fit it then, but, now it fits fine.
I was going to make a joke, warm. Like just to let you know, Jay is 4'5".
Yeah,
he's like six. What are you, 6'2" or something?
No, I'm six even, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's just what I was gonna make a joke. Okay. So, what is a New York City myth or stereotype, Jay, that you think is completely wrong?
I think we've talked about it before, but that New Yorkers are mean or unkind, I guess. I think that like New Yorkers are very nice and are like happy to help people. Like even yesterday we had the meeting and the guy like walked into the restaurant and was like, do you know where this restaurant is? And we were like, at first we were kind of apprehensive about like this guy coming up to our table. No, I think it's cool that like New Yorkers are happy to help people with directions and where to go and all that stuff. And I think that even just having conversations with people, like I think people like meet people out and about and they're really excited to help them with like, oh, like I'm in this career, I do this thing, like let's connect and talk and do stuff.
Right.
You know, it's very much a networking city. It's very much a kind of like you're always working kind of place. But if you take the chance to like talk to someone, they're usually more than happy to like help you out or.
I completely agree. I think that's so true too, because people, you know, hear New Yorkers are rude. And I mean, I get all these comments on my social media every day that New Yorkers are the most helpful kind of people, you know, with directions. And I mean, I walk up to people every day and say, just on the way here, there was a couple from India and they had that lost look in their eyes on Canal Street right now. And Canal is really busy right now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the guys out there are they're selling the purses and the bags and all that. And,
yeah.
And I walked up to him and I said, hey, I live here. Do you need help with directions? Of course, they gave me a head to toe look like, is this guy going to mug me? You know?
Yeah.
But they were receptive and they're like, where's Little Italy? So I, you know, walked them across the street and said, walk up to Mulberry, just a few blocks and you're there. And then they looked at me because they were walking. I mean, and she goes, is it always this busy? I go, yeah, it's fine. It's safe. You're good. Just straight ahead. So, yeah. I always see New Yorkers helping each other. And I mentioned this on another podcast and on my own personal pages, my social media pages. I personally see New Yorkers offering help with the subway.
Yeah.
Walking people certain places sometimes. So I see it all the time.
Yeah. No, me too.
And it cracks me up that people say, but I do see that people say sometimes too that New Yorkers are going to help you, but we're also busy and on our ways to do things.
Yeah.
So have you seen that video that's been going around, which I absolutely love? It's like a viral video of like these five or six people from a different state and they come to New York City. And this guy is kind of down by the trade center.
I have seen
that. And he's like, okay. And so the five people set up their video on the sidewalk. And then they walk, they all walk backwards. So they're all in frame of the video. And the guy, so they're in this guy's way. He's like, come on, people, get the blankety blank out of the way. And, you know, and it was, and all of us who live here were like, I even wrote, that guy's completely right to say whatever you said, And I liked how their reaction was. They all laughed because it was a New York moment for them because they got schooled.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's funny.
I love that video. It's really
fun. It's a really funny video.
Yeah. Super funny.
So my next question is, what's your favorite person from history that's from New York?
So my favorite person is a New York person in New York history. I will say the Rockefellers, John D. Rockefeller, because he created the city's largest Art Deco project in the history of New York City, which is Rockefeller Center, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's a huge part of New York. And there is the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree there now every year. So I would say that is my answer.
Yeah. He's cool. He did a lot of construction work for the city, a lot of development for the city, and was huge back in his day.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's 22 or 23 acres, Rockefeller Center.
Yeah.
It's huge. And he made a huge impact on the city, on the growth of the city. So that is my answer for my favorite historical person in New York City.
Cool.
How about you?
So it's got to be a tie between DeWitt Clinton and Teddy Roosevelt.
They're
both like
that's
so cool.
One. Yeah.
They're both amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I can't believe I didn't think of Roosevelt.
You got both Roosevelts too.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I mean, I have their pictures up on my wall in my apartment, so.
Jay, what's the biggest change you've noticed in New York City over your lifetime? Because you've lived here your entire life.
Yeah. What's the biggest change? I think maybe not really like one single change. I think the kind of influx of, I guess, the rebirth of the city. Because it's,
oh, that's good.
It's kind of like, I don't know, no secret that it was on the decline.
Right. Are you talking about like the 80s, 70s, and 80s?
Well, no, from like the early 2000s, kind of. Going from the early 2000s up to like the 2010s, early like 20 teens, well, people were leaving the city. There was a lot of money leaving the city, and people were moving to Florida, to the suburbs. It just wasn't the best place to be. But the city started investing in it. They built stuff. They built up downtown Brooklyn, like the Barclays Center.
Oh, definitely.
And then pre-COVID. And it was still that way up until COVID, but after COVID, people started moving back and more people from like all over the country started moving here. And so like you have the gentrification of Brooklyn, you have the kind of change of Hell's Kitchen becoming like a very up and coming, like popular neighborhood from kind of being a, you know, place you didn't want to be.
Correct.
And then, you know, I think just like the people moving here changed it a lot. And so I think the people in Soho, I think Soho wasn't like this before.
Your favorite neighborhood?
Yeah, my favorite neighborhood. Bed-Stuy and Brooklyn and Bushwick, like those were all very different than they are now. And so I think that the biggest change has definitely been the kind of the rebirth of the city in a way.
It's interesting. I mean, I wish I had lived here my whole life to see what you've seen. You know, because I moved here 11 years ago and all I've seen is growth in New York City, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, for me, it's hard to answer this question because I've only seen New York City growing and evolving to what it is today with the beautiful downtown Brooklyn, the skyscrapers at Billionaires Row, you know, that line at the bottom of Central Park, just all this growth in New York City.
Yeah.
So that's all I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I haven't seen New York City really in a bad part. You know, when I think of like the 70s and 80s, I wasn't
sure.
here.
Yeah.
You know, just what I seen on TV and heard on the news.
Yeah.
You know,
I wouldn't say that like I lived here when it was bad. I just think that there wasn't as much money in the city as there was. There weren't as many tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Broadway wasn't as popular.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a popular, I mean, it was a popular place for people to visit, but it wasn't like as popular as it is now.
Right.
Like, I think that like you have the tourism seasons, you have like, cause like for context, I think the craziest story that I couldn't imagine this happening now was that one day I was with my grandma over the summer and she was like, oh, there's this cool new musical. It's about history and it's like a rap show and like, we should go see it. And we were just going to like get tickets like that day at the box office because you could do that.
Are you talking about Hamilton?
And I'm talking about Hamilton.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we were like going to go see Hamilton before it blew up, obviously. But I think in general, like theater, you could just do that with theater. You could go to the box office and get tickets for your family.
Oh, I haven't experienced
that. For like pretty
that.
Cheap.
Yeah. No, I don't know it like that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was crazy that we were like going to go do that. And now that's unfathomable. Like you'd have to plan like days in advance and spend hundreds of dollars on tickets for a family.
That's what I'm used to.
But because it wasn't touristy, there weren't people going to see Broadway shows. It was like a thing New Yorkers did. But I think now it's become more of like a Disney World.
Interesting. I mean, I just know how it is today.
Yeah.
I loved Hamilton. It's
in my, it's great.
It's
really
in my
good.
Top five. I actually forgot my glasses and I really couldn't see. That tells you how good it is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I got there. I was like, oh no. So I couldn't really see that well. But the music and the play itself was incredible.
Yeah. Hamilton.
I mean, talk about
Hamilton
history. Great. You learn a lot of history in Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Probably one of the best shows. Top five for sure.
Yeah. No, it's great. Ooh, okay. Here's a good one. Do you prefer New York City early in the morning or late at night?
Oh, that's a good one. Can it be a two-part question?
Sure.
I mean, a two-part answer?
Okay.
So that's a good question because this is something that does affect me a big time.
And yeah.
I prefer them both.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because what I do is I'm always outside. You know, I'm always outside as a content creator, a photographer with my tour business. Always outside events. So in the winter time, I prefer mornings because there's sunlight.
Okay.
And then it gets really dark super early in the winter time in New York. I mean, I feel like much earlier than Florida. I'm shocked how dark it gets so early up here in the winter time. Then in the summertime, you know, I absolutely love the nighttime because I love how walking the Brooklyn Bridge just makes my soul sing in the summertime at night.
Mm.
With the warm breeze, walking across the bridge, with the city lights on, and walking around Brooklyn or even walking around any part of the city, Times Square. I know at nighttime, I can show Times Square up to people at night because people want to see it at night.
Yeah.
And people on my live videos or on my Facebook page know that I shift. I don't really do live videos at nighttime because it's too cold and it's dark early.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I'm always as a photographer, videography, aware of the sun when it rises and when it sets.
Yeah.
So I prefer the morning and the winter and the night in the summer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that for me, one thing that was really interesting was my dad used to say that he likes going out in the morning because before 6 a.m. you get the real like morning people and they're always the nicest for some reason, even though they're up early. And so like, and I started realizing that after he said that, whenever I was up, like either to travel or I went to like an event one time that was really early in the morning, like when you're walking through the streets, people will say hi to you. People will smile at you. People will like wave and be like, good morning.
Yeah.
Even though, because there's so few people out. And so if you're out and up that early in the morning and you're like having to do something, you're going to be like, okay, like let's be nice to the people that are around me. But I just think that's really interesting that like people will go out of their way to say good morning and hello and, you know, in the morning. But once after 6 o'clock hits, then I think that it's done. But
it's everybody for themselves.
After six o'clock. For yourself after 6 o'clock. But before then,
yeah,
it's like, oh, good morning. Like, how's it going? Like,
that's funny because I was up this morning early, you know, to walk across to the east side.
Yeah.
But I walked through Central Park and I posted, you know, a video.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful and it was so nice, even though I was a little grumpy. But it was really beautiful. And I was really taking it in how gorgeous the sunlight and the shadows that early in the morning. And I absolutely love it. So, yeah, I completely understand. This is kind of a odd question. I'm curious how you would answer this, Jay.
Okay.
How would you describe the New York sense of humor?
I think it's very cynical.
Yes.
I think it's also very, like, it's cynical, but also simple. I think that New Yorkers find pretty much everything and anything funny.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think there's a lot of humor in, like, the trains being delayed or canceled or, like, construction work that you didn't expect, or,
right,
like, the train being rerouted and not stopping at the stop that, right, you needed to stop at. Construction and trains, but I think there's a lot of, like, roadblocks that get in your way that are just kind of like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing now. And I think that
I like that
it can be very frustrating, but if you can find the humor in it, then you can laugh at yourself and kind of be like, there's nothing I can really do about it. So
that's so true. I didn't know how I would answer that, you know, when I came up with this question. I like that. I feel the same way. I think there are a lot of obstacles that we put up with, like, just today. We're, you know, it's a weekday, so you think the train service is going to be good, and then I was stuck under the tunnel for 10 minutes, and that added to my frustration, you know. Yeah. So I really wasn't laughing. I was actually frustrated, but but you know, that's the point, though. We do, at the end of the day, laugh about it.
Yeah.
In fact, when I was on CNN and about the train derailment,
mm-hmm,
I talked about, at the very end of the interview, they asked me a question like, you know, or they just said, you know, well, that's just your day. That's how it goes. And I said, yep, just another New York City moment.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like, you know, I'm not a New Yorker, but I've adapted that humor and that, you know, just that it is what it is type attitude. And what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. What are you
going to
do?
It, you know, so I guess, you know, that's why I love living here. And because I feel like I fit in with that New York City humor and attitude. Yeah. And I always say, too, to our listeners, a lot of people feel the same way. And that's why they identify with New York City so well. Because New Yorkers, I always say, are born all over the world.
Yeah.
And people have this connection with New York because they do appreciate and get the New York City humor and attitude. Definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
What is the most iconic New York City iconography?
Say it again.
What is the most iconic New York City iconography?
Well, can I say a couple?
Then it wouldn't be the most.
The most. Oh, there's a tie, so it's hard for me to answer this.
Okay.
You know, so there's the Chrysler Building.
Okay.
And then there's the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
So, but I would have to say the Empire State Building wins just because of King Kong.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So that, to me, the Empire State Building epitomizes New York City all around the world. When people see the Empire State Building and the Chrysler Building, but when I see the Empire State Building,
yeah,
that's New York City.
Yeah, I mean, it is the Empire State.
What'd you say?
The Empire State.
Yep, it's the Empire State. 100% Empire State Building.
Yeah. Okay.
How about you?
I would also say the Empire State, mm-hmm, Building, but to be interesting, I'll say Broadway.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I think that people come all from all over the world to see Broadway shows. It's in Times Square, which is iconic to New York City, no matter what era of the city that you're looking at the time period. And I think theater is something that's not uniquely New York, but mm-hmm. I don't think anywhere else does it as well as we do. So
I have to agree.
Yeah, I'll say Broadway.
Yeah, I like that. Uniquely New York.
Yeah.
You said, I like that because that's a phrase people say that before they do a play or they warm up.
Yeah,
they do the warm ups.
You know New York, you need New York, you know you need unique New York.
Wow, I don't know that whole thing. I was just going to say unique New York. I can't even say it. Unique New
York. It's a tongue twister, yeah.
You just said that whole phrase. Say it again.
I did because we
say
did. when I produced my play, we did tongue twisters and as part of warm ups. So it's, how does it go? It's, you know, New York, you need New York, you know, you need unique New York.
Wow. Let me do it.
Okay.
You know, New York.
Yeah.
You need New York.
Yep.
You know, you need unique New York.
Yeah, exactly.
I did it.
Yeah, yeah. You just have to like really think about what it is you're saying.
Yeah, I like that. I never heard the whole entire phrase.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I'm going to make a bumper sticker, even though I don't have a car. Okay, my last question to you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to end the pod. My last question on this podcast with this question, Jay. If you had to write a love letter to New York, what would it be? A short love letter, obviously.
A short love letter?
Uh-huh. Few sentences.
I would say thank you. Thank you for all of the memories. I say thank you for the time that you've allowed me to have with my family. And thank you for making the good times better, but also thank you for comforting me in my bad times. It's a city that's always there for you, and it loves you unconditionally.
Aww.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Is it my turn to do it?
It is your turn to do it.
I would say, dear New York, thank you for accepting me into your amazing city.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for allowing me to move here and pursue what I thought were my dreams. But instead, you said, no, Kelly, I'm changing your dreams. I have a different plan for you.
What's that plan? What was your original plan?
My original plan was I signed up for school to go back to school again.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then, so what I did, and then I went to, I was all set and everything, got everything ready. And I was actually too proactive because I went to sign up for classes. And when you sign up for admissions for a school, it lasts a year. After a year, it expires.
Yeah.
And I was at John Jay, going to John Jay.
Okay.
And so it expired. I went to, sign up for classes, and I was confused. They couldn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found out it was expired the day before or something like, and I was like, oh no, you know, I was crushed. I was like, I have to wait however long again to
what were you in school for?
Forensic psychology I wanted to do.
Oh
yeah. Okay. So in addition. So anyway, so then what happened was, I went home. I was very upset and frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly thereafter, you know, I was had already started taking photos and everything a lot and doing my photography, going around Central Park, around the city. And then Central Park saw my photos.
Mm-hmm.
And this amazing man by the name of Jim McGuire, he was in charge of the Central Park Conservancy. And I forget how it works specifically, but he liked my photos.
Yeah.
And I ended up being a photographer for the Central Park Conservancy thanks to him.
Wow.
And he was like my mentor. I have not talked about Jim in a long time. He actually moved to Florida. He and his wife moved to Florida a few years ago. But he was my mentor, and he was my biggest fan to people.
Yeah.
It's like, this is Kelly Kopp, and he takes pictures, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I was just starting out what I was doing, but he was like just the best. He built me up, and he loved my photos for Central Park and just in general, and great guy. So Jim, if you're listening, I owe a lot to you because he's amazing. But anyway,
aww.
So to finish my love letter to New York City,
okay,
you know, So New York City, you know, said, I have a different plans for you, mm-hmm. which is what I'm doing now.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so now my social media, the books I've been published in, my I should say photography books, so people don't know, just in case people don't know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and my my brand that I have built in New York City would have never happened had that not happened when I went to go sign up for classes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
None of this would have ever happened, and I've never been happier in my entire life.
Yeah.
So New York City, to finish my letter, mm-hmm. I would just say, thank you for redirecting my dream and putting me where you think I should be, New York.
That's cool.
You know, that's really cool. So that's my New York story.
Yeah.
Love Kelly, New York.
All right. Finally, we here at the New Yorkers podcast want to ask our guests, what does it mean to you, Kelly Kopp, to be a New Yorker?
You know what? We haven't done this for each other, have we?
I know. That's why I thought it'd be the perfect one to end on.
Wow.
And you didn't see it coming. So you're like all the guests.
See,
so
I did
you
not
have
see
to
that coming.
Think on the,
this is what we asked our guests every time.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to answer that. What it means for me to be a New Yorker.
Yeah.
It means to take in the city every day, to confront the city every day, and every challenge, all the challenges that it gives you,
mm-hmm.
and to appreciate them, and to sort them out, and to deal with them, it allows you to redefine yourself and follow your dream. That's what it is to be a New Yorker, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is New Yorkers follow their dream here. Gosh, this is such a hard question to think about, you know. Yeah. I can't believe asking how hard it is to get for the guests, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it is to be a New Yorker is to be someone who can handle the daily challenges of life here every single day, because this is like no other city in the world.
Right.
You know, you deal with all different types of people, all different types of situations.
Yeah.
It means to be a New Yorker is to be someone who's strong and can handle really hard things and tough things too.
Yeah.
And then there's so many beautiful and amazing things that are brought toward you too from New York, the city of New York. So to be a New Yorker is just to be strong, you know, to be confident, to be appreciative.
Yeah.
To be open to all the possibilities that this city gives to you.
Cool.
How's that?
Yeah, that works. That's cool.
That's not very moving, but it's
no, it's honest, which is what we're looking for.
Yeah, it's a city that I've always dreamed of visiting initially.
Yeah.
And then and it's also a city that I've dreamed of living in, which I made happen. Sometimes people say I'm lucky that I live in New York City, mm-hmm. which I disagree with that statement.
Sure.
Because it's not luck.
For it. Yeah.
It's something you got to go for. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard every day.
Yeah.
You know, and don't disrespect people who say that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's work to live here every day.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's nothing else, nowhere else I would rather live either.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Cool. It's a great city.
Yeah. I think for me, what it means to me to be a New Yorker is to be proud. I think that being from New York City is the source of a lot of my pride, whether it be like my dad being proud that he's from Brooklyn or my mom being proud that she's from Manhattan.
That's cool.
It's kind of like, I think that I'm not a very prideful person in general, but when it comes to my city, I think I'm very proud to be a New Yorker, and I'm proud to call it the greatest city in the world. So
I think
for me, being a New Yorker is being proud.
Being proud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do get that because I'm definitely proud to be a New Yorker. I don't know if I'm classified as a New Yorker living here 11 years.
But I think so.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, I am.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, New Yorkers are born all over the world, and even people who visit here are proud to say that they feel like a New Yorker.
Yeah.
The city does something. The city is magic. The city is incredible. What it does to people all over the world,
Yeah.
No, I don't think any, there is no other city that gives people that feeling that New York gives you.
No.
Not at all.
No. Not even like being in another city. Like I've been to a few other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say they feel empty, but like they don't have the same kind of feeling that New York has.
I agree.
Yeah.
And what I also love is I know that the people, my awesome friends on my social, on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, now Twitter, but we're all on the same plane when it comes to how our love for New York City, our love for New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, again, some people have never been here. So many people on my pages have never been here.
Yeah.
But they love this city.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful commonality that we all have.
Yeah.
And share and understand that we all love it and share it together. I think that's beautiful all over the world.
That's awesome.
You know, so it's a great city. It really is, isn't it?
It is. I love it.
It's a fun podcast.
Yeah, this is a great time.
I hope the listeners enjoyed it because it was fun. It was
we had a good time talking.
Yeah.
Get to know each other a little better.
Yeah. Jay and I we were talking earlier or, you know, recently, like, you know, we love doing these episodes together and talking, you know, to the listeners and it's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah. A good time. So let's end it out.
Let's end it. Let's shut it out. Thank you, my friends, for joining us today for this week's episode of the New Yorkers Podcast. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find you on social media, Jay?
So you can follow me at StudioJ170 on Instagram and Facebook.
Once again, I'm your host, Kelly Kopp, also known as New York City Kopp, all across my social media.
Please like and subscribe to the New Yorkers Podcast. You can follow the New Yorkers on social media at the New Yorkers Podcast.
You can leave a rating or a comment to let us know how you are enjoying the show. We read through all your comments and DMs, so please, we would love to hear from you. And I just want to thank you all for your comments on the podcast. From Ryan's World of Gaming, Lee Garrett, Petra Palafox. Sorry, Petra, if I'm not saying your name because I know we're friends too. Sue Rothwell, Deborah Menzies, Dit Murd, I don't know if the specific name, my friend. Frankie, you know who you are, Frankie. Frankie Fran Hendrani. And have a lovely day, my friends, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye, Jay.
This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.